And now, the Phil Henry Show with Phil Henry. West of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. East of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. First-time callers, dial 1-800-449-8686. And the wildcard line is 1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Phil Henry.
Coming up tonight, we have Herb Sewell. Herb is a talent manager. He'll be talking about Paris Hilton and how he thinks she's lousy. Her TV show sucks. Well, really, he's had a long-standing, deep, passionate, stalking love affair for her, or love for her, I should say. And so he's going to talk about that. Jason McElroy, a high school senior who is on to say he wrote a paper for his social studies class about how Kobe Bryant's got to be innocent. You can't go out and score 36 points on the Sacramento Kings and also be guilty of rape. It's impossible. Who's got the energy for all of that? So Jason will be with us. It's the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. And also tonight, I'm going to express a little bit of frustration about doing this radio, this, you know, doing a particular aspect of this radio show. I'm not going to tell you what it is right now. Just hang in there, because this involves the fact that our show is highly unique and how difficult it is for us to explain how unique the show is, not to our listeners who get it, but to radio stations. People you think should get it. You know, you guys who listen to this show, you got this show a lot faster than half of the program directors in America do. The stations that carry our show, 100 radio stations strong, thank you very much, they get it entirely. Although occasionally I get a note from one of them saying, hi Phil, Dan Bardello, program director here at WACK in Bloomington, Indiana. Yes, sir. Could you explain to the people that it's actually you doing the funny voice? Because what we do, if you just joined us, I play the part of guests as well as myself, and then they come on and people call in and talk to them. But anyway, I'll go into the whole thing later on. Speaking of our business, though, today I'm in the office. Now, I want to make an offer. Not that any of you guys will take me up on it. When I say you guys, you'll know who I'm talking about in a second. But I was in the office today, and I said to Chris, boy, Chris, can we get a cup of coffee? He said, I'll go get it, he said. I said, that's really not your job. You're an associate producer. I want to. I don't mind. I'll go get the coffee. I said, well, you know, can you go grab me? Even though I hate the very ground that they put the foundations for those places in, I hate the very tile, the very faux Italian tile that they lay in those places. Yep, you guessed it. I hate Starbucks. But I love their coffee. It's kind of like I don't really dig Cheesecake Factory either, but man, they make a good Cobb salad. You know, that kind of that, just going in there. How many? Three. Okay, could you just wait over there in the holding pen? What, is this a restaurant, or am I waiting to get branded? So today, Chris says, okay, I'll go get coffee. Great. And I commented out loud. I said, we need an intern on our program. Every summer, there are broadcast schools, broadcast departments, and colleges that have their students go out and intern at radio stations and at television stations. It's part of learning the business. And often it is nothing more than a gopher position, quite frankly. You get coffee, you run and you get newspapers or magazines, you get work materials. And if you're lucky, you can hang around and listen to how, for instance, in our case, how we prep our show. And that's how you really break in to any business, really. Whatever business you guys are in, I'm sure you have an equivalent position. Somebody who's sort of running around doing the grunt work, and they're doing it for free, because that's what an intern position, that's the definition of an intern position. It's a free position. So I said, well, I don't know, USC or one of the schools around here, broadcast schools, we've got an intern to come in here. And they go, yeah, that's a good idea. Then I'm thinking, wait a second. Hold the phone. What am I going to go to a broadcast school where these young people are going for 4 years to learn telecommunications, broadcasting, broadcast journalism, putting in their time, paying their dues to at least try to get a college degree in it? What am I going out getting an intern there for, making those kids run and get coffee, when every day hundreds, if not thousands of guys leave the world of professional athletics, basketball players and football players, and immediately segue into their high-profile network job broadcasting, when in point of fact, I could use some of you guys fetching me coffee this summer. For all that you're worth on the air. I mean, for instance, Dan Marino is a phenomenal, was a phenomenal quarterback. Phenomenal quarterback. Dan Marino doesn't belong anywhere near a microphone. Oh, what are you talking about, Phil? He knows all about the quarterback position. I don't give a crap if he knows all about the quarterback position. Every time he opens his big yap and tries to do that happy talk with those other dumb clowns that he's sitting with, he sounds like a jackball with that curly hair. Go get me coffee, Marino. You want to learn how to do this business? I'll show you how. I'll show you how to be glib. I'll show you how to sit there and have a presence and have a little bit of a sense of humor and how to, you know, sort of ad-lib. Maybe he's not a good... You know the guy that could have used it? A guy that could have used my tutelage was Joe Montana. Great quarterback. But when they tried to stick him in a broadcast booth, oh my God, it was like watching paint freaking dry. This guy. Dull as a box of freaking hammers. Joe Montana. Dull? Who's a real dull creep from... Like Wayne Gretzky. Wayne Gretzky's a hell of a hockey player, but this guy's got all the personality of a dead pigeon. He's got all... Seriously. How do you think Terry Bradshaw got his TV gig? You got it. He interned for Rick and Suds one summer. How do you think, what's his face? Who's the big guy? How do you think Howie Long busted in? He interned for Elliot in the morning. And James Brown, no, I won't say James. James Brown's a professional broadcaster. He's terrific, too. Who's the other? Chris Collinsworth, he interned for Bubba the Love Sponge. They were thinking about, instead of the pig, they were going to take a freaking chainsaw to Chris. Deion Sanders was hanging around here fetching Dr. Laura her herbal tea or whatever it is she drinks. So you see what I'm saying? No, you guys think I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. Get some of these guys over here and we'll show them how to do it. You're going to sit in front of a microphone, a whole different ballgame. Now, you guys know in your business... Whatever your business may be, whether you're a bricklayer or a doctor, you don't have some guy just waltz in off the street and say, hey, go ahead, give me a bucket of some of that mud and a trowel, man. I'll go ahead and start building a wall for... Who the hell are you? Oh, don't worry about it. I can do it. You just let me start... No. You're going to go down here and do an apprentice. I don't do that. I don't do no apprentice thing. Like a doctor. Brain surgery, right? You want to know why broadcasting is in the shape that it's in? It's an extremely subtle business. It's an entertainment business. But we're in the shape that we're in, meaning we're getting fined left and right. We're allowing ourselves to be pushed around. I'll tell you very, very clearly why the world of broadcasting is in the desperate, despicable shape that it's in today is because we have been subsumed. We have been taken over by amateurs. And it's happened before our very eyes, and we didn't even see it happening when it was happening. We got amateurs running the show. I mean, when I say amateurs, I mean guys right off the street. Amateurs. Not even television. As lousy as it can get sometimes, not even television. Just let's freaking rank amateurs. Well, TV doesn't. Well, I'm talking about the broadcast booth, I guess TV. But movies? I mean, at least the guy's got to have some real unique talent to be able to bust out and make it and even maybe even get one of them Academy Awards or whatever. But only in the world of broadcasting do we let amateurs just waltz right in off the street and get behind a microphone and they start acting like they're, they start acting like they're freaking Edward R. Murrow or something, man. Bill Stern. I saw this guy over at Fox Sports one day, about as dull a creep as you ever saw in your life, this guy Warren Moon. Great football player. Listen to this guy talk. You want to weep out of boredom. You just want to... What's wrong? I'm bored. Warren Moon and oh my God. Every guy off a football field sits down behind a microphone. You know, there's some of us that give a few years to this business. I realize it probably doesn't mean much to you. But because it doesn't mean much to you, I've sort of just made it one of my tiny little crusades, just a little thing that I kind of pull out every now and again. I just kind of go to bat for the old radio game. I go to bat for the old broadcast game. I know that I'm just the big mouth on the radio, but I can guarantee you this, if Warren Sapp ever tries to get into broadcasting, you're going to have to come down here, and you're going to have to shine my shoes, fetch my car, and wear spats and a parasol over your head and tap dance. I'm joking, because I knew that it would really make you angry, especially you guys up in Oakland. I know, I'm a racist. Yeah, I get it. No, but Warren, any of these guys, Jimmy Kimmel had Warren Sapp on his show. Did you hear about that? For a whole week? Jimmy, what are you trying to do, man? If you want to immolate, why don't you just go out here in the middle of Wilshire, pour up a can of gasoline over yourself, and make like a freaking Buddhist monk? Well, you don't have to have Warren Sapp on and slowly die. You don't have to have Warren Sapp on and just slowly, horrifically decay before our very eyes. Just go out here in the middle of Sunset, take out a big billboard, Kimmel lights himself on fire today at noon on Sunset Boulevard, pours a big can of gasoline over yourself, you even put that ochre robe on with the shaved head, just kind of get into the Buddhist pose and get out the marshmallows. So we need an intern, and we need an intern for this summer. And you would work with the Phil Henry Show, and you'll learn about nuts and bolts broadcasting like you ain't never going to learn sitting there on your dead can on the ESPN Sports Center. And that is why I'm very proud to announce today that we have hired for our summer intern program, Boomer Esiason. All right, Boomer, thanks a lot.
I thought you said I could do that.
Eddie Van Halen is with us. Eddie, I would never stoop to ask you. You were one of the greatest guitar players in history. What do you mean intern?
Well, that's something I love to do.
Well, I'm not going to make you... Look, you lost half of your tongue to cancer from smoking all them cigarettes. I mean, I figure you've paid enough dues, huh?
No, but that's what I'll learn how to, eventually have my own show.
Have your what?
I want to have my own show.
Have your own show?
Well, you look at me like I'm some kind of a freak.
Well, you're not going to have your own show, man. You don't have half of a tongue. How can I put you on there? What are you going to do, spin records?
Yeah, I think I could do a rock and roll album, maybe co-host with Jim Ladd.
Co-host with Jim Ladd? Yeah, okay.
I'm Jim Ladd, and Eddie's with us. Bye-bye. Now we're going to have a...
Yeah, that'll be great. Go ahead, show me how you do it. I'm Jim Ladd, and...
I'm Eddie Van Halen.
And now, Eddie, what are we going to play?
Well, let's play some Van Halen. Here's one called Panama.
Panama, is that what you said?
You know what I said. Bastard.
What? Later on, man.
You'll be sorry that you treated me like this.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Well, I got to get in a little bit of news. And by the way, coming up tonight, Justin McElroy, who is a high school senior who got an incomplete on a report about Kobe Bryant being innocent because you can't score 36 points and rape a woman. And his teacher gave him an incomplete, so he went on a morning news show and basically got her fired. And also, we have Herb Sewell, who is a talent manager who believes that Paris Hilton has become complete trash. He doesn't like her show. He doesn't even like her. He once upon a time had a secret love for her, though, almost like a stalking mentality. So he's a sick, twisted thing, and we're going to be talking to him. But first, there's indications afoot in the country that people are now beginning to not buy John Kerry's bullcrap as much. Now, again, I want to, because this really bugs people, so I love doing this. I want to remind everybody that I'm a Democrat, a liberal Democrat, who supports President Bush. And by the way, there's an organization out now called Democrats for Bush. Okay? That's how distasteful the idea of voting for John Kerry is. Is he a bad, horrible, disgusting guy? No, he ain't a bad, horrible, disgusting guy. He ain't much of a guy at all. He's just a big, fat, empty suit. I mean, even if you think George Bush is an empty suit, at least he's an empty suit. He's got a better grasp on things than Kerry does. The same John Kerry who doesn't know whether he's in favor of invading Iraq or against invading Iraq. The John Kerry who said that President Bush lied to the country, but at the same time it was John Kerry who also said there were weapons of mass destruction. I don't know why people were ignoring this very obvious reality about John Kerry, but apparently they haven't been. Apparently the American people have been looking it up, as they say, baby, and it's all coming rushing back like the hot kiss at the end of a wet fist, to quote the great Fire Sign Theater. John Kerry is now seen by many people as an empty suit. So today it's like 44% for, 44% against. The country doesn't know which way to go. And let me clear up one other thing. This one really got about 4 or 5 months ago. Some guy calls and goes, you know, all you talk about is the war on terror, but the American people quite obviously care about the economy. What are you talking about? I go, well, no, man, because the American people really believe that the war on terror is number one. No, they don't. It's about the pocketbook. Really? Well, here is a news flash for you, and it was backed up just a little bit by an article I saw in a local newspaper. The election, it said, quote, could turn on America's and Americans' concern about security. Oh, well, you guys just getting that news? From this day until the day we all die, from this day on until the day that we all die, and I mean when die, when I say die, I mean moldering in our tombs, the economy and the war on terror will be inextricably tied together. There's no difference. The security of this country, quality of that security or the lack thereof will directly reflect and directly influence on the economy. The easiest example of that, of course, as I've often said, is the stock market. Take a look at where it goes every time somebody blows a train up or flies an airplane into a building. Yeah, that's right. And those are things that have to be taken into account when you talk about some guy standing there and promising you jobs and promising you clean air and promising you health care. Number one, what's he going to do about all those jobs he's promising if thousands and thousands go away as the result of a fear on the part of businesses to hire because they're losing value, because the stock market has gone down and the companies are losing market value and they got to lay people off? Where's he going to come up with the magical jobs to replace those, huh? Nobody ever asked Kerry that, for instance? There's nobody in the press wants to ask him that because these guys are so full of hatred for Bush, they'll cover up every faux pas. And if you think I'm kidding about that, did you hear about the guy with the Boston Globe who said, oh, you know, I misquoted him. He didn't say foreign leaders. He said more leaders. And even though the reporter was trying to so obviously apologize and cover for Kerry, he'd already come out and said, yeah, I said foreign leaders. I mean, are you putting me on or what? Where was that guy from? Boston? The Boston Globe? This guy says, no, he never said it. I actually misquoted him. Well, he just said himself that he said it. You guys in the press, man, do you realize how bad it's getting for you? You cats are making stuff up now. That guy from the USA Today and that dude from the New York Times, those guys are just the tip of the iceberg. You cats are so desperate to sell newspapers because the internet is beating the crap out of you that you're starting to make stuff up. Just creating stuff out of whole cloth. I don't even know whether, you know, I gave an interview to a newspaper recently. It's going to be coming out soon. I'm worried about it. I am. What if he starts making crap up just to try to get people to read it? And if I turn around and say I want to sue you, well, I'll just be giving him publicity. I don't want to do that. So what am I going to do? I guess I'll just have to ignore it. But that's what newspaper writers now have to make stuff up because the internet is kicking their rear ends around the block for freaking drill. So the guy says, he didn't say foreign, he said more. This is what I'm talking about. So right now, the American people suddenly got a nose full of what's going on in this election, and they're starting to turn just a little tiny bit. And this guy, John Kerry, he ain't the big fat answer. And as far as this guy, Clark, I mean, I can't believe. Here's a guy in 2002 talking about how Bush was all that in a bag of freaking chips. And now, well, you know, Richard Clark, of course, he tried to warn everybody. Sure you did, pal. Sure you did. Right. You tried to warn everybody, man. You know what? Talking to your imaginary friend ain't trying to warn everybody. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, coming up, you know, there's no real new news in the Kobe Bryant case, although there was a letter written by the mother of the accuser. I'm going to talk about this when we come back from our flashback, and I want you to listen to what I got to say, because this has become almost beyond the pale. What's going on with this young woman who is the accuser, whether she's right, whether she's wrong, whether she's a liar, whether she's telling the truth. You basketball fans, I mean, I knew you were all imbeciles, but you guys are hitting new lows. Now, I'm going to talk about that. I'm also going to, probably you won't, I won't even have to explain it. You'll pretty much surmise why it is, even though I've had very cursory conversations with two sports radio networks about doing a weekend show for them, why I'll never probably ever do sports radio, because I fundamentally believe that the actual fundamental establishment of sports is dog doo doo. Okay, I dig the game, but I got no respect for the athletes, and I got no respect for the phony baloney organizations that prop them up. And the overall structure, things like the NBA and the NFL, and they're a joke. You think, well, who's going to hire me to do sports freaking radio? Because the problem with Phil Henry is I'm always just like one step outside the box for anything that I do. Even talk radio, I'm too freaking weird for it, right? Think they're going to put me on sports radio when I think that guys like Kobe Bryant are just dyed-in-the-wool punks? You think they're going to put me on there? You think Kobe's going to come on and talk to me? And I'd love it. I'd love for him to come on and talk to me. Yeah, you haven't got the guts, Henry. He'd probably kick your ass. I wish he'd take a shot at me. I pray. I hope and pray for the day a guy like Warren Sapp or the rest of those meatheads would take a shot at me. Jesus, you talk about owning them lock, stock, and barrel. You talk about returning to the days of slavery. Anyway, here is Steve Bozell from our show a few days ago. Steve Bozell is suing Mel Gibbons, as he calls him, for having a Jesus in The Passion of the Christ that's really sexy and handsome.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Let me start by saying you must have some neurons that aren't firing right, because seven times in this conversation you've been told that it's Mel Gibson that made this movie.
Yes,
and
sir.
You call him Mel Gibbons. So there's something a little wrong right there with your memory.
That is correct.
Let me say this. I saw the movie.
Yes, sir.
Jesus wasn't any more buff than the 10,000 pictures that we've seen of him since we've been 2 years old. He looked exactly like he has in any of these pictures. I work out constantly every day. In fact, when my wife and I saw him on the screen, we both commented that he looked frail. My God, how can a man like that even carry a cross? Buff is not the word. I don't know what the kinds of gyms that you go to.
Did your wife think he was hot?
Wasn't buff.
Did your wife think he was hot?
Let me tell you something. I was in Special Forces for 4 years.
That got to do with it.
I'll tell you what it has to do with it.
You're in Special Forces. I'm talking about Jesus, whether he's hot or not. You want to go into your war record?
Yeah, and I'll tell you why. Because there were parts of that movie that I could not watch, and I've probably seen more bloodshed than you have. Your wife may be, if she was attracted to this guy.
Did you see Saving Private Ryan?
Absolutely. I sure did.
That pretty much the bloodiest movie I've ever seen.
Well, I disagree with you. I think the movie that I saw last night was probably the bloodiest movie that I've ever seen. I'll tell you what you need to do. Let me give you some good advice.
You don't think Jesus would buff?
Let this man finish, please.
Let me tell you. If
do you watch reruns of China Beach?
Let's not talk about reruns of China Beach. Let's stay on the subject. If anybody were to look at the brutality and what Jesus Christ went through in this movie.
You ever seen Tour of Duty on CBS?
Let the guy finish.
And had a sexual feeling. First of all, your wife probably needs some counseling. And second of all, I think what's probably the most important, you need to get down on your knees and pray to Jesus.
That's why I'm in church.
Well, why don't you pray that he would give you some self-confidence?
I'm not Catholic, and they've got a lot of Catholic stuff going on. I'm not sure.
You just say it, Our Father, okay, pal? You can pray any church.
Well, okay. You know, what you need is
Did you ever see this movie, the MASH movie? See, that's also about war.
But that's got nothing to do with Jesus. What you need is a little bit of self-confidence, because if you know anything about women, 99 out of 100 women aren't attracted to buff bodies. They're attracted to men that have confidence and are secure.
If you thought that movie was the most violent thing you've ever seen, I seen Saving Private Ryan 4 times.
Whatever, man. Jeez.
Well,
I saw Saving Private Ryan.
I think the audience and almost everybody that's listening to your comments can tell from the fact that this movie that you saw by Mel Gibbons, that everybody else saw by Mel Gibson.
You told me it's the name's Gibson, sir.
Yeah, and something is a little wrong with you upstairs.
Look,
and,
Mr. Bozell, if I could jump in, it's Phil Hendry. I think this is a wrong-minded lawsuit. I think it's a frivolous lawsuit. I think it's going to get tossed out the minute you walk into court with it. And as long as you're in that Catholic church, let me tell you, because I'm Catholic, you can just kneel down and say in Our Father. That's a prayer.
So you guys are telling me that I'm crazy.
May I make one final comment about this lawsuit?
Go ahead.
Go ahead if you want to interrupt me. But
my wife's in love with Jesus. I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
My wife's in love with Jesus. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And it's tough. That's a tough one. It's Steve Bozell from the Phil Hendry Show, and all we can hope is that when our wives go to see The Passion of the Christ, that they don't get preoccupied with how hot Jim Caviezel is. Anyway, now here we go with Kobe Bryant. Now, the mother of the woman who is accusing Kobe Bryant of raping her has written a letter to the court. Now, this is how pathetic it's gotten. I want to tell you something. I don't know if this woman is guilty or innocent. She has received, according to her mother, thousands of obscene messages. She has lived in 4 different states in the past 6 months. She's followed everywhere by the defense and the media. As soon as she gets a job or makes a few acquaintances, someone figures out who she is and the media arrives. She has received death threats. 3 people have been arrested for threatening her life. She's received literally hundreds of death threats on the phone and in the mail and in her email. Now, you know, a lot of these death threats are coming from these bonehead basketball fans, right? Drunks, losers, guys that are sitting around with their hand in their zipper, watching Kobe going up and down the floor. You know, the whole homoerotic nature of sports anyway is pretty, like, kind of, you know, twisted. I mean, it scares me sometimes. These guys with their hero worship of these ball players, you swear to God, they want to slap on some kind of a mop wig and make like they're Mary, make like they're Jesus and Mary, whichever the guy wants to, you know, whichever night it is of the week. But you guys out there, you know who you are with the threats and all of this. Boy, you're some real brave men. One thing about obscene threats, which I know in my business, they come from really powerless people because that's the way powerless people exert a little bit of power. Obscene phone calls, anonymous phone calls, things like that. Otherwise, the nature of these individuals is pretty sad. You know, they're living by themselves or they got a bucket shop job. Some of these guys make, they do phone sales. Some of these guys, you know, are living with mommy. Maybe they're married and maybe they've got kids, but they're in a hopelessly, disgustingly, pathetic situation. They don't love their wives. They hate their jobs, whatever. But I focused in on this thing here. Now, here's this punk. And I say punk, Kobe Bryant, if for no other reason, I just happen to personally think he's a punk. The guy cheated on his wife after he's putting on his face for the news media, and the dumbbells in the news media, of course, sucking it up like it's maple oatmeal, talking about, oh, we never knew Kobe. You'd have thought these guys were like the virgin spring, some of these guys. I mean, I'm reading these sports writers in the local press, Kobe Bryant? We never knew you, Kobe. We always thought, are you guys really reporters, or are you just bitches brand new out on the yard? I mean, what are you cats? You never knew him, huh? The guy was just a shock. You always thought he was just a sweetheart, huh? How long you guys been covering sports anyway? How long you guys been going around locker rooms? Jesus, even I know. These guys, get off the playing field, go down to the locker room with some of these guys. Some of them are the lowest form of life on earth. The lowest form of life on earth. Now, this punk Kobe Bryant, punk kid, I don't know how old he is, 23, 24, got a whole bunch of money for bouncing a ball up and down. Now, he cheats on his wife. Then he gives it a big $4 million rock. And then he's got every stupid human being in America. And by the looks of it, man, there's a lot of really dumb people out there with big signs that say, we believe you, Kobe. Aren't you a sweetheart, Kobe? You want to know why? Most women expect their husbands to cheat on them. That's just a foregone conclusion. Women in America especially will forgive Kobe Bryant because they expect nothing less out of men. He's a man, he's going to cheat on you. Sooner or later, a man is going to stray and cheat on you. So Kobe did it earlier rather than later, so he got it out of the way, right? Now, if he happens to slip her a case of AIDS as a result, well, you know, what's that between friends? Hope he's wearing a condom with his wife. Because he didn't wear one, apparently, with this woman, whether he raped her or not. Now, she's gotten death threats. She's gotten obscene phone calls. A 19-year-old woman, whether she's guilty or not, whether she's telling the truth or not, what kind of a man is this, these guys that are threatening this woman? I'd like to ask a question. I know there's all kinds of people out there that would go to the wall for Kobe Bryant, and he, in turn, of course, wouldn't walk across the street for you. I know there's all kinds of you people out there that would just go to the mat for old Kobster, even though he wouldn't pluck a hair out of his nose for you if it would save your life. How many people are within the sound of my voice right now, like security people, for instance, that would offer to this woman, free of charge, 24-hour security through the course of this trial? Just because you're man enough, that's all. Just because you're man enough, just because you got a pair. That you would say, all right, this is enough is enough. Woman can't even keep a job, four different states, obscene phone calls. The reason why the mother wrote the letter was to get a swift trial. She wants this thing over with. She wants it to come and go, man, because this is, obviously, has impacted her life. So is there anybody within the sound of my voice, and don't call me, because I don't know how to get a message to this girl. You can call, why don't you call the court in Colorado? Or why don't you call the Eagle County Sheriff? Maybe they could direct you to this woman or an intermediary. In fact, if I were you, and if there's any man within the sound of my voice right now who has some kind of a security business or is able to provide security, does bodyguard work, whatever, why don't you call the Eagle County Sheriff, find out about an intermediary that you can speak with concerning this young lady, give her some security, give her a little protection. Everybody's sending the private jets for Kobe, flying his rear end back and forth so he can get, hey, yeah, 36 points last night, though, babe. Nice job, okay? Good ball game. You're still a punk. How do you like that? Jeez, Phil, I can't believe you're in Los Angeles and you're talking this way. You must be from out of town. No, born and raised. Well, then you must not be a basketball fan. No, I can tell you more about the Lakers than probably most people. I've been following them since I was 6 years old. Which is pretty tough because when I was six, they were still in Minneapolis. So let's make that eight. When they got to L.A. Well, you know, maybe you just don't get the modern game. Oh, yeah, okay, I don't get the modern game. Dude, I've been following the freaking game my whole life. One thing I do know, though, I know a real scumbag when I see it. And I've been around athletes long enough to know these guys are, they're a dime a freaking dozen as far as bad manners, bad behavior, and just, you know, slob-like personality. Do we got a break?
Yeah.
Okay, I got a break. I forgot. I didn't know where we were. All right, 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Coming up, Justin McElroy, about the teacher he got fired because she told him his report on Kobe Bryant sucked. He didn't agree, so he got her fired. And also, Herb Sewell, how Paris Hilton has become complete trash. Coming up with the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up, we got Justin McElroy on Kobe Bryant. No way he could have raped the woman. He scored 36 points against the Kings. And Herb Sewell on Paris Hilton. What a piece of trash she is, but he's in love with her anyway. 1-800-449-8686 here on the Phil Henry Show. And here is Margot. Hello, Margot.
Yeah. I'm really, really pissed off because this is what I think. I think Kobe Bryant's a jerk. But any woman who goes up to a man's room after 12 midnight, diddles around, and then whines rape is a slut. Period.
Okay, well, the punk gets a private jet and the slut gets death threats.
She's getting death threats because, you know, she's a bimbo. She went up and did something stupid.
Well, you're one of those women that thinks that chicks that walk around in miniskirts deserve to get raped then.
No, I think that there should be a code of ethics like there used to be.
No, but I mean, if a woman walks around in a miniskirt, she deserves rape, right?
Well, no, I think you don't go up to a man's room after midnight and diddle around. You don't do that.
Well, what if she got raped?
She has no morals.
What if she got raped?
She shouldn't have gone up there.
This, folks,
and he is a jerk.
I want you to hear this lady, because this is what's, this is how women think. Women, one of the reasons why women don't really get ahead in this world is they're self-hating. And they're also at each other's throats.
No, I'm not self-hating. I think
and here's a lady who is on the air, and she's actually saying that some women deserve rape.
No, I didn't say deserve rape.
Oh, absolutely.
These kids today, the MTV morals that are out there today, throwing out the kids, they're walking around with little G-strings. And
as opposed to the morals you grew up with, which were what, the acid head morals?
No, unfortunately, you know, it's a crime that this is the kind of mentality that's over the airwaves day and night.
No, your mentality has just infected.
Your mentality has
infected my airwaves as well with the self-hating women deserve rape argument.
I'm not a self-hating person at all.
You're right. You're not. You just hate other women.
Well, Mr. Henry, let me say something here, please, okay?
You just hate other women, that's all.
I think Kobe Bryant is a fool, all right?
Oh, that's swell.
Yeah, he is, because he has no
moral. How about using the word punk?
And he has no self-control.
Punk.
Okay?
Yeah, punk.
Yeah, he has no self-control. However, neither do women. Neither do some women. She went up there, diddled around in his room, and then, oh, I'm raped. Oh, well, why did you go up there in the first place?
Well, Margo, if the day ever comes and somebody pins you to the hood of a car and pushes your skirt up and does what he wants with you, don't come crying to anybody about it, okay? Because
you know what?
You should have known better walking in that parking garage.
I won't go walking down no dark alley.
There you go. But you know what? It can happen in your kitchen. What are you going to say then?
Well, it can happen in your kitchen.
Yeah, what are you going to say then?
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about young girls that walk around.
Well, this was her place of work. And this is also a place where she was working. She was a concierge. She was invited to the room by Mr. Bryant. And she went to the room.
You don't go up to a married man's room. I'm sorry.
Like I said,
in the middle of the night at the hotel, no, you don't go.
Right,
my daughter won't go. Because I've taught her, you don't go to a man's room after midnight.
Yes, ma'am.
Period.
Okay.
You don't wear thongs and your breasts hanging out. You don't do that.
Yes, ma'am.
It's teasing.
Yes.
And men who have women, you know, who don't train them as little boys and allow them to be voyeurs to negative things on the internet and wherever else, those kids grow up and they do that kind of thing.
All right, thank you very much. All right, thank you. Mm-hmm. That was the Virgin Mary calling in. It's nice to hear from you. I thought that you had, by the way, loved you in the movie. That was Jesus' mother. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Hey, the best of the Phil Henry Show 2003 CD, The Death of Talk Radio. All proceeds go to my friend's place. You can buy it online or call 877-616-7445. Now, buying it online means that you go to www.philhenryshow.com, visit our souvenir shop. We have got great merchandise for you guys. Easter's coming up. April Fool's is coming up. You know, get the... What we're featuring this week for April Fool's is the Phil Henry Show t-shirt, baby. You don't have to spend a whole lot of bread. We got something for everybody, all right? Justin McElroy is my special guest when we return on the Phil Henry Show on how Mrs. Havers, his social studies teacher, gave him an incomplete because he said Kobe Bryant couldn't possibly rape a woman and score 36 points against the Kings. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
All right, speaking of the Kobe Bryant case, it affects all kinds of fans, basketball fans, sports fans in general. Justin McElroy is a young man who attends Canyon High School in the northern part of the city of Los Angeles. He has, in point of fact, had a teacher, or at least your father did, Justin, had a teacher placed on administrative leave over a paper that you wrote defending Kobe Bryant and saying it was impossible, I guess, for him to have raped that woman because he's an outstanding athlete. Okay, Justin, you there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, go ahead, comment on that.
Well, as part of our social studies forum, our junior class, we were asked to write a paper on a current event and give it, like, a meaningful interpretation and foundation, and then we were supposed to analyze what we thought was the main point of the news, and so I want to write about Kobe Bryant.
And now you wrote about Kobe Bryant and his current court case involving this woman in Colorado, correct?
And I said in the paper that I felt he was most probably innocent, and I thought the victim of, like that lady was saying earlier on your show, you know, kind of like a woman who's a slut that was lying, because I wrote that if you're a basketball fan, you know that the concentration that it takes to excel at that game is so much. Like last night against Sacramento, he had 36 points, 6 assists, and 6 rebounds, and that was after getting off a plane from Colorado where he had attended a pretrial hearing on this, you know, rape, you know, that everybody says he committed. Anyone who knows basketball knows you can't really have that kind of concentration and be guilty of raping someone or whatever. So I tried to explain this in my paper, and Mrs. Haver, who's our homeroom teacher.
All right, this is Marianne Haver?
She's our homeroom teacher, and she's also our social studies teacher. She gave what I thought was a really unfair grade on it.
What was the grade she gave you?
Well, she gave me an incomplete, which is almost like giving me, I mean, it's pretty much the same as giving me an F, because it means that I didn't finish the assignment, because she says that she didn't want to know if I thought he's innocent. She just wanted to know what the central facts of the story were. And I tried to explain to her how she was wrong, that the point of the story is, like, you know, this slut, you know, accusing this black guy of raping her, and yet he goes and scores big points night after night, and you can't do that and be guilty. I try to explain that to her, and she's not as smart as she thinks she is, I guess. And I don't. Do you watch basketball, or do you?
Yeah, I follow basketball.
Well, I mean, then you realize what it takes. I mean, to ball in the NBA and be, you couldn't be guilty. Okay.
All right. Well, I personally don't understand that line of thinking, that the guy is so good that he couldn't have raped anybody.
Well, see, that's what I'm talking about. No one really understands how hard it is to perform in the NBA, and you're not going to turn around and rape a girl. And so I tried to explain that to Mrs. Havers, and she said she wasn't changing my grade, and that's when I decided I'd write her a letter and tell her what I thought, you know, that she was stupid and she's unfair.
All right, you wrote a letter to your teacher telling her she was stupid and unfair?
Yeah, I mean, she is, and she...
What made her stupid? She said, I want the points of the story.
Well, she doesn't understand. First of all, I mean, she doesn't understand basketball. I mean, and the Lakers, right now, they need him. They need Kobe, because this is toward the end of the season. We're like 3.5 games behind, or now, I mean, they're 2.5 games behind Sacramento in the standings. And that's, I mean, what I said to her in the letter was that...
Did you threaten her?
No, I didn't. I mean, all I said was, I think it's wrong with teachers and education and how stupid that she was. That's the reason a lot of kids want to go get a gun and just freak out. I mean, like the Columbine kids or whatever, because the teachers are stupid, you know?
And how do you eventually make it... You got into the morning news locally on television, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
How did that happen?
Well, I mean, I have a friend of mine who his dad is an executive producer on a show, and I told the friend of mine about this teacher, and they just came to my house. They interviewed me.
What did you tell them?
Well, I mean, I told them for a lot of us kids, the Lakers is about, I mean, the Lakers is like the only thing you even want to get out of bed for, because there isn't much else to, you know, to live for. I mean, you go to school, and you have an idiot for a homeroom teacher, and the Lakers is the only reason kids aren't getting guns or, you know, committing suicide or anything.
And all right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686 is the number here. I'm talking to Justin McElroy. He's a high school senior at Canyon High School. He wrote a paper on Kobe Bryant being innocent because he's such a great athlete, and the teacher gave you an incomplete. She didn't think you completed it, and you wrote her a letter calling her stupid and unfair and telling her that she and teachers like her are why kids get guns?
Well, I mean, yeah. See, it's hard for you to understand this because you're, you know, you say you're a basketball fan, but if you really were, you'd know. First of all, the Lakers are not going to, you know, they're not just going to be...
Right, look, Jason, let me ask you this. That's a kind of a dead end that a lot of people wind up in, living vicariously through sports heroes because they never had the courage to go out and take chances with their own lives. You see what I'm saying?
Well, no, right now, because you don't really understand what young people think. Basketball's the only thing we really care about, because the society the adults have left us with is like this, you know, horrid hole of depression. And that's what bands like Korn are trying to say. If you've ever heard Korn, I mean, that's what Jonathan Davis is trying to write about, how, you know, the whole world's just like a hellhole. I mean, it's like, you know, growing up in Serbia or something, because this place is living hell. And so I have the homeroom teacher who's an idiot.
All right, look, the fact is your father had several meetings with the district board of your school and this woman, Marianne Haver. She's been put on administrative leave, and the only thing I can see that she did wrong is give you a bad grade on a paper that you might have deserved.
No, I didn't deserve it, and that's what I kind of expect you to say, though. You know,
well, you're expecting me to say that, why? Because I'm an adult?
Well, I'm not really, but I mean, adults don't get that the world that they've given us is this hell where, you know, mostly adults are idiots and don't understand how, you know, how much we appreciate Kobe Bryant. And now they want to put him in jail because some slut, you know, wanted to let him, you know, go for it. You know, and now she's turned out to be, you know, bitch number one. And
okay, I'm going to have to ask you to watch your language, okay?
I'm sorry?
I'm going to have to ask you to watch your language, all right?
Okay, but I mean...
Look. She gave you a grade. You don't think you deserve this grade.
No, I mean, Kobe Bryant, she also didn't seem to get that my father's an alumnus of our school. He also attended USC and has a lot of influence with our school and our school district. And so she was stupid not understanding that. I mean, that's what I try to tell her, too. My father is an alumnus of Canyon High. My father also has a lot of influence with the district. And she's even too stupid to understand that. I mean, and now she's on leave, and she may get fired, and I don't care. I mean, because most kids hate school. You know, I mean, I hate school, and every kid I know hates school, and yet I made an attempt, and she steps all over it, you know.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, the number on the Phil Henry Show. You're listening to Jason, Justin McElroy. I'm sorry, I called you Jason. Justin, you have written a paper saying Kobe Bryant couldn't be guilty. He's a great athlete. Why do you think, because he scores 36 points, 6 assists, and 6 rebounds, that he's got to be innocent?
I mean, that's kind of a stupid question, but...
I don't think it's a stupid question. Why do you think, because he can score 36 points, and...
Well, I mean, listen to yourself. He's the greatest player that the Lakers have had probably since Magic Johnson, and he goes out and scores 36 points... I mean, he doesn't have a guilty conscience about anything. If you had a guilty conscience about something, you probably wouldn't go out and ball that good, you know? And the way Mrs. Haber's bunk line essay on Kobe just proves that she's, you know, just another teacher in our school system who's stupid about current events and how kids feel. And
But to write her a letter and say, you gave me a bad grade, that's why kids want to pick up guns, isn't that a threat?
I'm sorry?
Isn't that a threat, Justin, to say to a teacher, you make me want to pick up a gun?
No, I mean, she did it. You know, she's an idiot. And I don't understand what you mean.
To say you make kids want to pick up, you don't understand that?
No, I mean, she's the one who was stupid.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let's go to a phone call. This is Jill. Hello, Jill. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Justin McElroy.
Justin, you're what, 16, 17 years old?
I'm 17.
17, and you're junior in high school.
No, I'm a senior.
Senior in high school. Oh, this is even better. You're getting ready to join the ranks of the real world. And you think that a legitimate argument for he can't possibly have committed a rape because he's a great athlete? I'm actually personally leaning towards the fact that...
How could he go out and score 36 points if he's all guilty about raping some slut? I mean...
Okay, you know what? I agree. There is a chance that this is not a rape. I'm not arguing
that's
that.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
I'm arguing that the fact that him being a great athlete is anywhere near an excuse for whether he could or couldn't have committed a rape, that's got to be one of the stupidest, to use your word, arguments that I've ever heard. And
well, what are you talking about? I mean... How's he going to rape somebody? I mean, you're not even a basketball fan, so how would you know, okay?
Actually, I am a basketball fan.
Well, I mean,
however,
do you understand how the game is played and everything?
I choose, instead of living my life vicariously through an athlete, to go and do something productive like serve my country in the United States Marine Corps. Okay?
Unlike you. That really sounds like a lot of fun. I'm just saying that...
She's a U.S. Marine, okay? You're going to put that down?
I guess not. I mean, if she wants to do that, it's not nothing I'd do. I mean,
exactly.
There should be teachers allowed to teach you and encourage young people to be stupid. I mean, just like the way she said Kobe could be guilty, I said, why are you such an idiot? And she says, you know...
Wait, are you calling your teacher an idiot?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what she is.
She's an idiot because... You didn't follow the directions of the assignment.
Yes,
you write a letter.
Yes,
you write a letter to her that can be construed as threatening because you mentioned Columbine.
Well, hey,
and
kids,
you mentioned having a, making kids want to get a gun.
That's why
and
kids hate
school. And you're calling her stupid?
See, that's why kids hate adults, because every time we try to say, hey, you know, this is hurting me or this is something, you know, you should pay attention to, they turn around and they go, oh, wow, you know what, we better call the police because you just said that you're, like, unhappy. And I'm saying she's an
no,
idiot because she didn't want to swallow the fact.
Your life's unhappy. Not because
Kobe
you said your life's unhappy.
Well, she's an idiot, you know.
You brought up corn about writing about that life is a hellhole and the world is a hellhole.
Yeah.
Well, I subscribe to suicidal tendencies philosophy. If your life sucks, you suck. Okay?
Well, suicidal tendencies is kind of like
your,
old school.
Hold on just a second. I'm an adult. Give me just a moment here.
Oh yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, you're
right. Wrote a letter.
Look, dude, don't be rude, okay?
Well, she's telling me, hey, I'm an adult, you know.
Show me a little bit of respect. That's all I'm asking. You've been on the radio saying some things.
Well, you're saying a lot of stupid stuff. Why should I give you respect? You're such an idiot. I mean,
don't call people, man. This is not going to turn into you calling everybody an idiot, okay? I don't like that. Let's argue the point.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to say here. You made a poor argument to your teacher. She said you didn't do the assignment the way it was supposed to be done.
Whatever.
What you said was that you were supposed to give the main points of the story.
Yeah.
What you did was say, this is why Kobe is innocent.
Yeah.
That's not following the directions of the assignment.
No, it is.
So
no, I did.
Says,
yeah,
you know
she's
what?
An idiot and you didn't
you
see
didn't
it.
Do
so
the assignment
how do you know?
Correctly.
How do you know you didn't see it? How do you know you didn't
see
it? Okay. So, why don't you go do some push-ups or something? I mean,
Justin, we're not going to get anywhere with you insulting people.
No, she said she's a Marine. Why doesn't she go do something that they do?
Look, Jill, very good arguments.
You know what we do?
Very good arguments.
We voluntarily say, you know what, I'm willing to give my life to defend some idiot.
You know something, kid, you're really being rude.
Right? Say whatever stupid thing
you
want.
This is just another dumb woman who can't accept the Kobe score 36
points.
When you
write a letter to your teacher that can be construed as threatening, and if you mention guns and you mention
Columbine,
you're
using all the big words now. You're breaking out the big words now.
All right, look at Jill, I'm going to let you go. I thank you for some 1-800-449-8686, and I would caution my guest not to try to be insightful, okay?
No, she's just another dumb woman who doesn't understand. Kobe Bryant last night went out, he scored 36 points after he got off a jet. Do you think that he would do that if he was guilty of, like, you know, doing a slut? I mean, I just grew a goatee listening to her. I mean, and I can't even shave yet. That's how boring it was.
All right. 1-800, the inflammatory, would you get on the phone with him, Janice, and tell him that I can't do this? 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This young man, Justin McElroy, who got a teacher put on administrative leave after she gave him an incomplete on an assignment. She asked him to write down the salient points of a news story. He went on to not only talk about the news story, but offer the opinion that Kobe Bryant was innocent. She gave him an incomplete. He's had her placed on administrative leave because her father's some kind of alumnus of the school. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be back with high school senior Justin McElroy in just a moment.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Talk radio speed trap. The Phil Henry Show is back.
I'm talking with Justin McElroy. Justin is a high school senior who wrote a paper for his senior social studies class in which he opined that Kobe Bryant was innocent and the teacher gave him an incomplete, apparently wasn't completing it, and you got her put on administrative leave. You have said, and we're going to get back to some phone calls, you have said, well, Kobe Bryant means a lot to kids.
Well, he does. I mean, you know, for,
why?
Well, just that adults don't understand how much Kobe Bryant means to kids and how our lives would be like hell, you know, without basketball. I mean, like Korn sings about how our lives are just, you know, living like in nuclear waste. And if we didn't have basketball and people like Kobe Bryant to follow, I'd just as soon go out and slit some old lady's throat. I mean, it's just...
You're kidding.
No, I mean, why not, you know?
And this Mrs. Havers is probably, I told her in the letter that I felt that she was one of these teachers who, you know, during the day pretends like she's all studious, and, you know, at night she's probably like a slut, you know, probably goes out and gets drunk like my mother does, and that's why she hates Kobe, and that's why I got an incomplete on my essay.
And you really believe that?
Yeah, I mean, my mom and all of her friends, they're, you know, they dress up in their tight pants and everything, and they're whores. And so, Kobe Bryant is the only reason why kids don't want to just go out and find an old lady and, you know, slit her throat from ear to ear.
And do you think you're a criminal?
No. I don't think I'm a criminal, no.
Let's go over to Julie here. Julie, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, hi there. You know, Justin, you're way off base here. You know, that paper that you wrote had absolutely no deductive reasoning, and you didn't support your point, and that's why she gave you a poor grade. You need to go back and learn how to prove your point and make some rational...
She doesn't get her
rational points in supporting whatever it is you say, whether you're taking it seriously or whether you're doing it as a joke. I mean,
I took it seriously. I just wanted to explain to her why Kobe Bryant is innocent, and it was a big news story. She wants to do a news story.
No, baby,
and,
you need to.
So I, you know, hey,
no,
you know
you
what?
Need to go and return.
Hey, why don't you tell your black boyfriend? Why don't you call him boy, baby? You know, I'm a
boy, kid. You know, you are really, really.
What does she mean, baby? What does she
mean,
baby?
You're way off.
You know, I mean, when dude. What am I, okay? I mean, that's the whole thing.
I mean, if you want to make a point about something,
they can't even explain why.
You need to listen and
my mother and her friends
to somebody other than
porn
or whatever music you listen to. You need to read and you need to just get the facts straight and then write a paper. Write a good, well-written paper and you'll get a good grade.
Yeah, okay, Mom.
Well, you need a good mother that probably tells you to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's great. Hey, why don't you go back and make another ashtray in your garage or whatever you do?
Jesus, kid, you are really rude, man, with these people.
No kid in America today takes a lot of these adults serious because they talk down to you and pretend like they're so much better than you. And, oh, here's what you ought to do.
Yeah, but, kid, I mean, you're, like, argumentative, and you're getting into people's faces. Do you believe that you followed the assignment?
Yeah, I just explained that, like, 900 times. What don't you understand about what I've explained it 900 times? I'm getting the same stupid people. I mean, what kid in America today has a chance when we're talking to idiots? And the woman, Mrs. Havers, like I said, she's probably all smart, and then she goes home and drinks and goes out with some, goes to bars and stuff and picks up guys. I think what happened was that Mrs. Havers was probably impressed by my essay, and she hates me, so she doesn't want to give me a good grade.
And you don't think you're bitter? You don't think you're criminally minded?
No.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Whore. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Justin McElroy, a high school senior who thinks Kobe Bryant is innocent. Basketball is, in your words, Justin, I wrote him down, basketball is sometimes the only reason for living among young people because life is hell in the United States. Now, you have a father who's got influence with the school district. You have a mother who is a stay-at-home mom. What is hellish about your life? Okay, I don't know if we got... Are you there?
Yes, sir.
What is hellish about your life?
Well, I mean, I've already explained it to you like a million times.
Well, explain it to me one more time.
First of all, my teacher, Mrs. Haver, is, you know, a liar because she said one thing about the assignment, then she gave me an incomplete when I did it. So she's a liar. And also, she's like a lot of adults who lie, you know, and so... As a teenager, you have to escape from that, and so basketball and Kobe Bryant, those guys, you know, they help us escape from that, and also, when we like basketball, the adults, you know, hate that, and so they try to harass us, and so, why why else wouldn't we want to get a gun and go kill somebody? Because, I mean, I don't want to kill anybody or anything, but if Kobe Bryant, you know, if they want to put him in jail, sometimes you feel like you just want to take a, I don't know, like an old, you know, shaving razor and just, like, drag some old lady into an alley and just, you know, cut out, you know, her heart and stuff. And
because if you don't have basketball, you want to drag an old lady into an alley and cut her heart out with an old shaving knife.
Yeah, I mean, I told my mom last night, Kobe Bryant scored 36 points. She goes, oh, you know, that's nice. Do you want some juice? And I mean, you know, what's that about? And she's a loser, and I hate her.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686 on the Phil Henry Show. Jerry, go ahead.
Yeah, you need to grow up, kid. You're sitting here saying Kobe.
What's
your
people
sitting
have
here
something
saying
new
Kobe
to say?
Bryant.
Do you have anything new to say?
Oh, he scored 36 points.
Yeah.
Big deal.
We mean big deal.
A woman says no, that's no.
What's that got to do with anything? I'm talking about he couldn't have done it.
You're sitting here saying, oh, he didn't do it.
No,
well,
he didn't.
Obviously, somebody thinks he did, and they've got enough evidence to take him to court.
Well,
also,
he didn't do it, though, because they don't like
also,
black guys and stuff.
You're,
they don't
oh,
like black
he
people.
Didn't do it. He didn't. Were you in the room with him?
Well, they don't
were
like
you
black
in the
people.
Room there? No, you weren't
no,
in the room, so you don't know what happened in
no,
that room.
No, I mean, were you?
No, I wasn't,
okay.
But I'll tell you what,
so you don't know what
I believe
happened?
The evidence that I see, and I'm not sitting around saying, oh, Kobe scored 36
yeah.
points, and
well,
that's the only reason I got to live.
Okay,
well, you know what?
Hey, guess
if
what?
You're this way and you think you got to go out and beat up on an old woman, why don't you go beat up on an old man or a young man because you're too chicken to mess with somebody that you know will kick your ass all over the place?
Hey, I don't want to do
I'm
it.
And I'm getting sick and tired of hearing you
I don't
you
do it, okay?
Sit here and whine
but,
and cry
but
all
Kobe
over
Bryant.
The place because you got an incomplete on Kobe Bryant.
Hey,
big deal.
You know
I hope he gets. I hope he gets life in prison. He's a predator. Two
well,
years
you don't even
ago,
know.
I
you
have agreed
even,
with
you. You weren't even in the room with him, so you don't even know, okay? And I think
well,
that,
I know
you
why,
know,
I know
Kobe
why
Bryant
you're
goes
all
to jail,
upset.
So there's going to be
because
tens all over the country.
Because your daddy has to get you out of something,
yeah.
And you can't stand up for yourself.
Well, you know
well,
what?
What's funny is I
all right, hold on,
the reason
Jerry,
he wrote the
Jerry,
letter.
Jerry, hold on. What? What were you saying, Jason?
Okay, first of all, my name's Justin.
Okay, I'm sorry, all right?
Well, I mean, it just proves how stupid you are. And
well, look at you. Don't call me stupid and everybody that calls in stupid. Your teacher's stupid. All adults are stupid. You're on my show, aren't you?
Look, all I'm saying is Kobe Bryant goes to jail. I guess this guy, what's his name, Jerry?
Yes, Jerry.
Okay, what do you want teens all over the country to be getting guns and stuff, and maybe you'll get shot?
You know what? I've worked in a prison for 4 years. If you want to sit here and tell me, oh, kids are going to go out and get guns, you know what? Maybe that's why... Since abortion was legal when you were born, maybe your parents should have just said, you know what, we don't want to bring a kid into this world. It's so bad. Maybe they should have just went to a doctor and made sure you weren't born.
Okay.
You're sitting
answer
here
this.
Saying,
answer this.
I'm going to go stab an old woman. You ain't got the guts to do anything because your daddy's pulling you out of every little jam you're in. But I know why you wrote the letter now, because you're hoping that because Kobe's going to go to jail, you're hoping maybe you can go to jail and be his prison bitch.
Oh, wow, okay. Old man, listen to this. How can a guy score 36 points if he thinks he's going to go to prison for life? Thank you. I just chopped you down, man.
Oh,
I just busted you. I smoked you. Oh, you
really
smoked.
Means something.
You smoked.
36
you smoked.
Points mean something.
Smoked, man. I
you
smoked
know,
you. Yeah, yeah, I smoked you.
Oh, you smoked
yeah,
me,
I smoked
all right.
You, dude. Hey, and I see, if I see you, I'll kick you down in a second. Why don't you come and
you
have
know what?
A, hey, why don't you come have
where
a vodka
you,
with
where
me?
You want to meet?
I'll
where
kick
you
down.
Want to meet? I don't really care, because I'll tell you
I'll kick you down in a second, man.
You're sitting here talking like you're a big badass. All you are is a little wimp that sits there and I'm going to get a knife because I don't have a basketball player to watch.
Well, you,
you
did say
what?
That, Justin.
It's Justin. Jeez, what an idiot.
You call me an idiot one more time, kid. I'm hanging
you know
up
what?
On you.
Justin, you're
okay.
the idiot.
No.
You're sitting there just
the idiot.
You call
me
everybody.
Jason. Hey, Jason. Hey, Jason. Hey, Jason. Hey, Jason. Hey, my name's Justin. Am I calling you Slim Jim? I'm calling you Jerry, okay? That's your name, right? I ain't calling you Jerky.
Number one,
what's
I didn't.
That about,
I
you know?
Called you, Justin,
what's
but I'm
about?
Getting sick and tired of this little whining
and,
at you doing.
And another thing,
over the
like,
points.
Kobe
who cares
Bryant.
How many he scored?
Kobe
Michael
Bryant.
Jordan scored more points than him.
Okay. Yeah.
Michael Jordan was a better basketball player than
and
Kobe
he,
was.
And his old man got killed. Okay.
What's that got to do with anything?
So, yeah. What's that got to do with anything? His old man got killed. Big deal.
That's
Kobe's a racist
oh,
and a torturer.
Hey.
You know what?
Why'd he go out and buy a $4 million ring?
How come if the NBA doesn't exist, I want to go out and I want to slit an old lady's throat? How come? Because adults lie.
Oh, adults lie? What about you kids?
All right. Look, Jerry, I got very good points you're making, Jerry. 1-800.
Why do you say he made good points, Mr. Ray? I'm just curious because...
I thought he was trying to get through to you and say, you're threatening old ladies. You're saying you want to go out and slit an old lady's throat if there's no NBA.
Yeah, but he was a dumb hick. And you're sitting there, like, sticking up for him? Aren't you from California?
What's that got to do with anything?
Aren't you from California?
Yeah.
Well, so am I. So you stick up for, like, a hick?
I stick up for anybody that makes sense, kid. That makes sense. 1-800-449-8686. Here is George. George, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Justin McElroy.
Thank God you got my name right.
Yes, Justin. Yeah. I think you made a comment earlier that you're degrading women through a lot of your comments, and you made a comment about your mother being a slut wearing tight pants and everything.
Well, yeah.
And, well, hold on, Justin. Just hear me out for just a minute. I think what you need to do. You need some counseling because you have some deep-seated issues against women. Now, maybe your mom's lifestyle hasn't been one of a mothering, nurturing nature to you.
Oh, my God, you sound like the psychiatrist my parents sent me to.
No, I'm just...
You do. You sound just like the psychiatrist my parents sent me to, like, 2 years ago because I wanted to slit a dog's throat. And they go, we got to say...
You wanted to slit a dog's throat?
Yeah, because all they're doing is... Hey, Justin, hey, do this. Hey, Justin, and I just wanted to go kill a cat or something.
Hey, Justin, look, you should not, any time that you feel that you have to take a life,
okay,
whether
Dr. Melfi.
Or a human being,
George, hold on for a minute.
Something wrong.
George, hold on. Don't call him Dr. Melfi.
Okay, Dr. Melfi.
Don't do that, okay, kid? That's mocking and it's stupid.
Well, he thinks he's like Dr. Melfi, all sitting there going, oh, hey, Tony. I don't want to have sex with you because, you have issues. You have deep-seated issues. Okay?
It's clear that you have issues. First of all, you are putting your faith in another human being. What you need to do is put your faith in Jesus Christ.
What?
Okay?
Oh, my God.
That's what you need to do.
Don't put your
faith in another human being.
Okay, let me
put
ask
your
you.
Faith in Jesus
okay,
Christ.
How would you feel you if your mom do, walked... What
you need to do, Justin, what you need to do is not degrade women the way that you're degrading
women. What are you talking
about?
How would you feel if you saw your mom walk in with pants so tight you could see the whole area? It makes me sick and I want to puke. Kobe's mom wouldn't do that, okay? Kobe Bryant, who is always respectful and wears clothes that, don't show you stuff that you don't want to see. Because old ladies make me want to puke and everything. And,
okay.
And also...
Hey, Justin.
Oh, God, man.
But listen,
I want to kill a cat or something.
No, Justin, listen
Look
a minute.
It, dude.
What you need to do...
Hey, you know what you remind me of, man? Listen to this. Listen. I woke up this morning and I got a gun. Check it out.
Hey, turn that off, kid.
Why? That's what the guys do.
Turn it off and quit making fun of my callers.
Well, he's coming on like Dr. Melfi. I woke up this morning, got myself a gun. Oh, I'm sorry. Want a mess?
Hey, fool,
you want a mess? I mean, that's
Phil.
About...
Yes, sir. Turn
hey,
the music. Put the kid on hold.
If the authorities out there, wherever, well, you're in California.
Yes, sir.
If the authorities are listening to
he's a psycho. I don't think the kid is really serious. I think he's saying, I hate adults and I want to get the... I thought that this kid was making a point about, he got a teacher put on administrative leave. His parents are... Would you turn that music off, kid?
I got myself a gun.
That's an accident.
You don't know what time it is out on the street, fool. You don't know what time it is out on the street, fool.
Turn that freaking music off.
Hey, Phil,
that's an accident.
That's an accident waiting to happen. If the authorities are listening to this, some sort of authority should take charge.
Right.
This kid needs some help.
Thank you very much, George.
This kid needs some help.
And I apologize for his smart mouth to you.
I think
you're making some good points. Thank you. 1-800-449.
I got myself a gun. Directed by Timothy Van Patten. Check that out, man. That's slamming, man, every time it ends like that, That's so tight. Can you play that again?
No, I ain't playing it again. And Mark, you shouldn't have played that.
Hey, Mark, you shouldn't have played that. Hey, Mark, you shouldn't have played that. Hey, Mark, you shouldn't do this. Hey, Mark, you shouldn't do that.
You happy?
Are you happy? Are you happy? Huh? Are you satisfied? Huh, fool?
You're making a complete ass out of yourself, kid, okay?
Hey, Justin, you're making a complete ass out of yourself. You should be responsible. Huh? You know? I mean, that's what you sound like, man.
That's what I sound like, but what do I mean?
Oh, that's what I sound like, but what do I mean? We should have you talk to Dr. Melfi. Maybe you can put your face between her...
That's enough.
I'll just go... Dr. Melfi! I woke up. Oh, man, here comes my mom and her friends with their ankle weights and their cocktails. Whole pack of hose bags coming down the road. Whole pack of hose bags coming down the road. Whole pack of hose bags.
All right, get the, this kid is making me want to kick some serious rear end. Here comes my mom and her friends. A whole pack of hose bags coming down the road. Ah! Kid's nuts! Justin McElroy, high school senior. On why Kobe Bryant can't possibly be guilty, he went out and dumped 36 through the hole the other night against the Sacramento Queens. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Talk radio's worst nightmare. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Pastor William Rennick was on our show yesterday to say, you know what? The term civil rights is owned by black people, not gay people. Get off our backs.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I'm a black man. I'm a black auctioneer here in the state of Georgia. And I'm very, very few. It's not very many black auctioneers around here. And I don't have more white people help me get to where I need to be than I have had my own brother.
You a black guy? You said you're a black auctioneer.
Yes, I am.
I don't have more black people helping me get to the point where I am today. We need to grow as a country, man, and not just pull against each other. All right, let Pastor Rennick say something. Hold on, Joe. Let Pastor Rennick say something. Can I ask you a question? Could you do one of them, like what you do? Do you do that? Hey, that kind of thing? Yeah, I do that. Can you do some of that for me? I just want to hear because I love the entire lost art of the auction, and it's very American to me. Can you do some of that for me?
Yeah, I can do it.
Just do a little bit for me.
That's, you trying to get? I want to make a point.
Hey, let me say something, brother. About you. Let me say what you about, brother. About what you say.
We need to make a point here, man.
I want to say we
need to stop this because I'm tired of hearing about all this hatred.
Yeah,
my daughter comes home every day.
Now, here's a point I want
to
make.
And I'm trying to teach her different things, and you guys just keep this mess going on and on and on.
Yo, tonight I'm going to get on an airplane. I'm going to take my congregation on an Easter sabbatical to the Holy Land. My wife, Sister Bingham, and I, and our associate deacon, Richard Prelkow, we're staying at the Doubletree in Cairo, Egypt. And from there, we will go by way of Land Rover to the pyramid. And then by paddle boat up the Nile to the very ancient Suez Canal. And the entire experience will finish off with a cruise to Istanbul, and then on to Athens. And then we fly back to Los Angeles via Frankfurt. Now, what do you think about that?
What has that got to do with anything?
Well, that's the money we raised.
And they got
money
to what you're talking about.
With these gay guys, we get the rights from them using the term civil rights. My church got to go on a whirlwind trip to the Middle East.
See, he's talking about making gay guys pay for the using the term civil rights.
That's silly.
Well, wait a second. You were sitting there going, old American. Well, I'm walking down the street in St. Augustine.
I mean, they are people, too, and they have rights, too. You know, I read the Bible. I do what I'm supposed to do. But, you know, you can't force out a lease on everybody.
Brother, when you're
and they have
up
their
there,
own beliefs, and I think we need to, you know, let them do what they want to do.
I know that, brother, but when you're sitting up there going, hey, how do we want for this piano? What are we going to get for this statue? And I'm out there getting my head cracked open by some cracker cop in St. Augustine. Well, you're saying some old lady, do you want me to wrap that in newspaper for you? You want to take it like it is? What's that about?
All right, look at Joe. You made some great points. I got to go. And I have to say to you, Pastor Reddick, you really got to calm down a little bit. I mean,
calm down! I feel great!
What do you mean a whirlwind vacation to Egypt because you used all that money that the gay guys paid you for using civil... Are you trying to tell me you got some guys paying you?
I got a deal, yeah.
Well, where's the bread for the rest of the black folks?
What you talking about?
So in other words, you got some gay guys paying you off for using the term civil rights, and you're taking your wife to the, what is it, Doubletree Hotel in Cairo?
Word!
Mr. Henry, I'm sorry to...
Who's this?
Hold on.
Give me the phone. Mr. Henry, this is Clara.
Oh, Ms. Bingham, how are you?
I'm fine. Pastor Reddick needs his nap right now.
Fine! You ain't gonna put me to bed, woman! I'm trying to make a point about a black man!
He is so wound up because we're going on a whirlwind vacation. Also, we have floor seats for a Laker game. So we are trying to get ready for the Easter sabbatical.
Well, Ms. Bingham, I didn't mean to keep him up past his... It's only 10 minutes to 8 o'clock here on the West Coast.
This woman treated me like a child! Like what I gotta do is suck myself and put my diaper on!
You go to bed right now. I made you hot milk and everything.
Hot milk! Thanks a lot! Now I do look queer!
He's very upset about his image.
I know he is upset about his image. He just got back from Atlanta, and he's got a little bit of a cold. So I want him to go to bed before we go,
Hey, Tom, I gotta take a nap at the airport!
Jesus, I forgot about that.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold!
Oh, God. I like him a lot. He's a great guy, that old Pastor Reddick. He's taking a nap at the airport. Gotta put him down for his nap. Oh, my God. Herb Sewell is coming up on how Paris Hilton is complete trash, but he loves her so. Herb Sewell on The Phil Henry Show next. Our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8666. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
We have on the line with us Herb Sewell. Herb's a longtime show business manager and handles, from a management standpoint, the careers of a number of up-and-coming artists, Tom Hansen, Tiffany Bright, Josh Parkington. There's a lot of young up-and-comers on your list, Herb. You took part in a seminar this past weekend on reality television, and I want to talk to you a little bit about that. I want to start talking about Paris Hilton's program, The Simple... I believe it's called The Simple Life.
Yes.
It's now starting a second season, and she's sort of come out of nowhere. But you had some very strong opinions about Paris Hilton this past weekend at the Park Du Place Hotel. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I think that Paris Hilton is quite bad for television.
Why is that?
Well, I think she comes off as sexually loose. As I think she comes off as amoral. She's not what I consider to be a quality role model for young women, and I think she represents in full flower what is fundamentally wrong with the reality television phenomenon that that audiences no longer know what they're looking at as garbage. They simply entranced with the wonder and glory of Paris Hilton. Thank you very much. I've been managing talent for well over 5 years. And I would never, ever consent to managing her as long as she believed that parading her private area and behaving really like some kind of animal in heat was the way to success in show business. Well, I can assure her it's not. And for that reason, this show, The Simple Life, is a doomed project, ultimately, in my opinion.
You think it's going to go off the air?
Without question.
Let's talk about The Apprentice. It's a really interesting look at getting up the corporate ladder. It's been very successful for NBC.
I think it's an interesting... The Apprentice is an interesting show. I think it has legs, as they like to say. But here again, getting back to what I was saying about Paris Hilton, no television program can assume that the audience these days is aware that what they're watching is utter rubbish. That's what reality television has done. The audience is looking at pure, unadulterated garbage, and they think it's actual quality. And that's what Paris Hilton has done. She has taken her beauty... And I will admit a considerable amount of charm. And she sells it as if she is working the four corners out in front of Caesar's Palace. I always loved, and I think that's a good word to use, I always loved the way she was rather coquettish, but not slovenly in her pictures in the magazines. But she has given way, her and that dumpy little friend of hers, to a slovenly and sexually degenerate personal life that frankly takes that innocent young woman we knew a few years ago and throws her literally into a septic tank with all the other bottom feeders. And I really hate what she's done, whoring herself. I hate it. I don't hate her, but it.
Well, let me just jump in here. We're talking with Herb Sewell about the various kinds of reality shows on. Do you really think The Apprentice, getting back to that show, is a program that is rubbish? That it's kind of, that is sort of ditzy the way The Simple Life is?
I think The Apprentice is truly, I think The Apprentice is rubbish. It is a parade of posing wannabes that Trump pretends he's interested in. I don't really watch it. I think that, for instance, Paris Hilton has showed that friend of hers, who I've never liked, and I never thought she was good for Paris.
What is her, the gal that's with Paris?
Yes, her name is Nicole Richie, and she's Lionel Richie's daughter, Whoopi, you know, and she comes across as slovenly and sexually libertine, and no doubt I think she had an enormous negative influence on Paris. And the way she likes to parade her sexual appetites in front of millions of people, I think, is disgusting beyond all. I can't stress enough.
What do you mean, Whoopi? She's the daughter of Lionel. I mean, I realize, big deal.
Well, Lionel Richie was a marginal talent at best. He was a part of the group, the Commodores, and they scored a number of number one records. But when he went out solo, he was sort of a caricature of himself with that ridiculous mustache and the pseudo afro and the ridiculous flared pants, and then gives birth to this dumpy little girl. And the whole dancing on the ceiling, and
you're really down on The Simple Life, I take it, right?
I think it is pure.
Yeah, and you're blaming a good part of it on, excuse me, on Nicole Richie. Hold on, I want to give our number out to Herb.
All right, Phil, but I do want to make a comment on Paris and how she has really turned into a sexual whore at a lot of...
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Herb Sewell about A Simple Life, the reality TV. She's a success, though. People like to watch the show. And
well, people like to watch the show because they have become so... they have become so numb to what is quality television that they really think it's high-quality entertainment. And I really blame the grade school humor level and grade school production level. I blame it all on Paris, but I also forgive her, if you know what I mean. In other words...
No, I don't.
Well, I watched her, you know, I've watched her throughout her life. I thought she was capable of so much more. But when you give it up to every talent scout, when you give it up to every B-list actor, every stuntman, every rock star, every jock that wanders into any South Beach club, you happen to be undressing... in that night, what should I have expected?
All right, but what I'd like to do now, Herb, is turn away from The Simple Life and look at other shows that came up in the seminar. Specifically, I mentioned The Apprentice. What about the prospects of The Osbournes? This isn't going to be renewed, is it?
Well, the Osbournes died a very slow and particularly horrific death. The seasons were drawn out with pathetic manufactured crises. And Sharon, I hope what they're going to do to the Osbournes, they do it quickly. We were just talking about The Simple Life, because watching Paris humiliate herself week after week is almost like watching a racehorse relieve itself on a beautiful flower. And
Mr. Sewell, can I ask you something?
Yes.
Do you know Paris Hilton?
Do I know?
Yes, sir.
No, I only know her through her work, but it is in many ways like knowing her. I know she has people in her life, but do they know her as well as, for instance, I do? I've agonized over her pictures in magazines.
Well, wait a minute. You don't know her because we're talking so much about her, and I want to move on to these other shows.
I'd be more than happy to talk about the other shows, but I wanted to make one more point about A Simple Life. I've watched, hopefully, when she interviewed wanting to see a young woman come of age. I stood in line, and this will be interesting to your audience. I stood in line for 45 minutes to have her sign a photograph for me. This was in New York. Only to have them say to me they were cutting the line off. So in other words, I stood in line for 45 minutes to have Paris Hilton sign my picture, and she wouldn't be able to get to my picture. And I remember taking the subway back to the hotel that night, and I was really crying quietly to myself, and because when he said we're cutting the line off, he could have easily been saying to me, I want to cut your bowels out with a rusting propeller blade. That's how vicious that comment was. And so...
All right, but Paris Hilton has one show. There's The Apprentice. There is The Osbournes. There are any number of shows such as Survivor that are coming back.
That's true, but the television viewing audience has been completely sucked in by Paris Hilton. I think that's what's different about her. She basically has completely traded in any talent that she had to act like a utter degenerate, and the American viewers are taking it in hook, line, and sinker. And she has them in her purse, and she pulls them out and plays with them at her leisure. And the way she plays with the American people is the way she's played almost with me, with my emotions.
When you say with you, now you don't know her. Right?
No, I do not know her, but I can see where you're going with the question.
Because you stood in line to get an autograph.
I what I'm saying is Paris Hilton is toying with the American people, and she's toying with them the way I felt she's toyed with me over the years, because I've been a long-time supporter of hers, and now I see her with other men, and other men who are in love, say they love her. I loved her. I want to talk about the other shows. I truly do. But I'm also very hurt by Paris and what she does, showing herself in the sexual context that she does. And, you know, I stood in line for 45 minutes to get her autograph. And she instead gives it up for stuntmen and garbage collectors, and you have to realize this young woman who has turned into a young whore has ripped certain people apart. She's ripping apart her audience, even though they're not bright enough to see it. She is tearing me literally to shreds emotionally, the way she parades herself. And yet I can't get an autograph. And
well, in getting autographs, and I can tell you because I've given out autographs and personal appearances, sometimes you get so many people, you have to cut the line off, otherwise you're going to be there all day.
I totally understand that.
Well, then if the guy said to you, I got to cut the line off...
She could have allowed me one autograph. I don't think one more autograph would have made her hand fall off. I don't think giving one more autograph would have made her mascara run, you see. And yet, when he said we're cutting the line off, he might as well have picked me up by my private area and carried me to my car, you see. And I as I said, I took the subway. So my car was parked in New Jersey at the time, you see. So these are the things that I worry about, Paris. And
but we're talking about other reality shows as well.
Yes, of course, but... What do you want to talk about?
Well, let me go to a break here. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Is Paris Hilton just a walking piece of trash? Because that's what Mr. Sewell is talking about. I've tried to get Janice him to get into some of these other shows, which I'd like to do. And I don't know if he's going to do it. He seems obsessed about her. And we can talk about that if he wants to. But I do want to get into the other programs, and there are many reality shows. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, but he's made a lot of very pointed comments about Paris Hilton, how she is parading herself in a sexual way. He also said he stood personally in line for an autograph, which I find interesting. If he is so down on her, why is he getting her autograph? And then they cut the line off, and he said it cut him open like a knife. All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, won't float without pontoons. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm with Herb Sewell. He's a talent manager, and he is talking with us about reality TV shows. We've been talking about Paris Hilton's show. We've talked a little bit about the Osbournes. And you've got a problem with Paris Hilton personally.
No, I don't have a problem with her personally. I've got a problem with her.
Well, you said you stood in line for an autograph. You don't like her show.
No, I don't like her show. I think it is a degrading program. And but more importantly, I've seen her in clubs. I have tried to say hello to her, and I've always got a bodyguard who has pushed me to the floor or has called me has called security from the club and has had me thrown out. And I find that degrading. You know, Paris Hilton, through her publicist, has said she would be at certain nightclubs or at a certain art show opening, and she never showed up. Now, I'd like to know why that is. I've gone to extreme efforts to be at these locations, okay, and because she's turned into an ungrateful slut, she has no remorse for not showing up. And that's what I want to find out. I want to get to the bottom of that. Does she have remorse for not showing up at these, these events? Or does she have remorse for having me taken out of line for an autograph, for instance?
But I want to talk about Paris. So I want to talk about Survivor, Big Brother, Fear Factor.
Of course, we can talk about all of that. But you understand that all of reality television is garbage. it's not. It's all garbage. It's pure garbage. And the most recent, of course, The Littlest Groom. But the garbage that you see is led, the head of the parade, the drum majorette, if you will, of the garbage parade, is Paris Hilton. In my opinion, an ungrateful little small-time whore who has not returned phone calls.
All right, let me go to a phone call here anyway. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This is Brian. Hello, Brian. You're on the... Who am I? Brian? Yeah, go ahead, Brian. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
All right. You got your guest on there who's probably... Paris Hilton needs to consider getting a restraining order against him.
I beg your pardon?
Well, the host decided to turn the conversation for several other shows. I'm in agreement with you about poor quality of most other reality TV shows.
Yes, sir.
But your obsession with Paris Hilton is would appear to be bordering on unhealthy.
No, I'm not trying. I am no... I beg your pardon. I'm a talent manager. I work in show business.
Well, I mean, Paris Hilton's not trying to offend you personally. You've got a personal axe to grind with her. I'm no apologist for Paris Hilton.
I love Paris Hilton. I say that to you with the greatest of sincerity. I love her. Why
you love Paris Hilton, but yet your degradatory remarks about her, called her a whore, you've called her a slut.
But in many ways, Brian, the women that we love, and I'm sure in your own life you've loved a woman who has toyed with you and whored around and you love her, but you want to stab yourself out of the grief that she gives you, you know.
I honestly can say that I have never been in that situation. I've never been able to claim to have the feelings that you're trying to describe.
See,
right now.
If I could jump in, gentlemen, I want to talk about The Bachelorette, and we keep going back to Paris Hilton.
We keep going back to Paris Hilton, and I'll tell you, gentlemen, why, because I think it's a very good question. I tried to answer it. The Bachelorette, Fear Factor, the American Idol is another great example of the garbage. But she leads the... It's almost as if she is the Pied Piper of the vermin-ridden rats that are the reality shows. And she's blowing her little flute and dancing that sexual dance that she dances alluringly.
I believe you're putting way too much stock in what everybody's opinion of Paris Hilton is.
Paris
that is in your own mind.
Well, if I could ask the gentleman, have you seen the program?
I have not seen it in its entirety. No, I have not.
Well, I think you should see it because you will see a young woman, a young woman gleefully trotting through the sewage of reality television. And as a very successful manager, I've gone to every effort to talk to Paris and explain to her that she has become a whore. I've tried to come right down and say, Paris, darling, you're a whore. And ha 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 ha. And that she is heading in the wrong direction. Obviously, her people don't care. I hate it, what they're doing to her, but I love her. And that's, see, I hate her, but I don't hate her, but I hate it.
What do you mean you hate it?
I hate it. I just hate it. I hate.
But what is it?
What it is. What she, that whole, it's like I'm standing on the outside looking into a fabulous party. With wonderful champagne fountains, and I can't even get a Ritz cracker with a cubed piece of cheese on it. And when I try to get to the door, they say, no, you don't get past the rope, Herb Sewell. You don't get to go past the rope. That's what I'm talking about. And I think the American people can relate to this. You know, I think that they can certainly understand the trauma, if for no other reason, that I love her, but I hate so very deeply it.
It being that party of that's going on that she's a part of?
Yes, and the fact that I'm standing there as if I'm I live in a cave somewhere with my hand in my zipper. And I want it so much. So
you want the life she has?
Yes, but I want to share it with her. You know, and it's just...
hold on for a minute, Sewell. I need for him to get focused on this. Otherwise, I got to cut this interview off. I want to talk about the reality shows. 1-800-449-8686. Herb Sewell, my guest, who thinks Paris Hilton's show sucks. We can talk about another show. It'd be great. All right.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
On the line with me is Herb Sewell, a longtime talent manager in Hollywood. We're talking about reality television. Excuse me, but we have settled on Paris Hilton's A Simple Life, the Simple Life.
It is the Simple Life, yes. But
I want to explain to my audience, we've settled on her because you have, and Herbert's been described as an obsession with her.
I categorically reject that I have an obsession with her. And I categorically reject that I have some unhealthy connection. I am simply trying to say to people that when you care about someone's talent, as I have seen Paris, and then to find out that she was intimate with a man, that it was videotaped, and that it is now just spilled out onto the internet. I hate that, and yet I must see it. I hate it so much, and yet I must see it.
You hate that she was videotaped having sex with a man, but you must see it.
I must see it because I must see what she does, and I must see it now, and I know that I'll hate myself for watching my Paris degrading herself in that way, and yet I want so very much to see it, to know how she is with a man in an intimate way, and because I know, and I've told myself, and I've been honest with myself, that I will never be me.
Mr. Sewell, I want to break in here, and I have to tell you that I agree with one of the earlier callers. I'm not saying that you're stalking Paris Hilton. I'm saying you have some kind of an unhealthy and...
I categorically reject that again. I categorically reject that, and I wish you would not bring that up.
It sounds unhealthy to me, sir, what you're saying about her.
I'm saying that I love in a pure sense Paris. But I don't want...
She did a filthy thing with a man on videotape, but you must see it.
I want to see it, because I want to know her in that way. And yet I don't want to see it. All I want to be is an American in Paris. You know, it's a...
funny joke. In the middle, you're going to joke?
I'm not joking. I'm simply saying...
I got to go to a phone call. Hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Mark, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, hello, Mr. Hendry. I just want to let this Mr. this idiot, you know, he's just mental...
Are you speaking to me?
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't think you need to be mocking in your tone. And I don't think you can know how I feel to call me an idiot. Have you loved a woman? Have you loved a woman?
No, because you are crazy.
Loved a woman, as I'm asking you, sir? Have you ever loved a woman?
Yes, sure.
And yet you laugh at me.
Yeah, of course.
See, he's I got to tell you, Mr. Sewell, what you're saying...
The two of you gentlemen are mocking me because Paris has done something filthy on a videotape with a man, and I abhor that. I abhor that.
Yes, but you know...
And why do you... Are you mocking the way that I laugh? It's a nervous laugh.
No.
You know, you can laugh if you'd like, sir.
Yeah, but, you know, are you a little bit crazy? Because...
I categorically reject that, sir.
What do you mean?
When you say you categorically... We're saying there's an unhealthy...
Mr. This gentleman's name is what? I'm sorry.
It's Mark.
Paris has a chihuahua named Tinkerbell. And I've seen her picture in the magazines with Tinkerbell so very often. And my need to know her has driven me to degrade myself in ways that perhaps Mark or you, Phil, have never done for a woman. I purchased at Western Costume a chihuahua suit.
Yes.
And I got into a chihuahua suit, and I sat on a bus bench in Beverly Hills waiting for her to come out of the grill. Hoping.
You know what? You don't need to buy a chihuahua suit because you think as a chihuahua, actually.
The man, I got to tell you, it is funny.
What is funny? You have no idea what it's like to admire the sweet, soft skin, the golden hair, and the lips that are full, because I don't think you've loved a woman the way I...
You're just crazy.
Do you know what you are, Mark?
You know what,
Mark?
Man? Go have a life.
Do you know what you are? You are a bastard. Do you know what a bastard is, don't you?
Well, there's no need to call people names, okay?
This man is calling me crazy. I categorically reject that.
All right, Mark, thank you for your call. You bought a chihuahua suit.
I got at the Western Costume Company a costume that approximated a canine of some kind. And
you got into that suit and sat on a bus bench outside the grill in Beverly Hills, hoping that when she came out, what?
That she would... And this was the degradation, and again, I want you to analyze this with me. This is the way I degraded myself, that she'd hope that I was her dog, and she'd put me in the car with her.
You're kidding me.
Again, I am saying to you, yes, I know I'm degraded. I know that I'm not worthy. I know that I'm lower than filth. I know that I'm filth. I know that much. I know I'm filth. You see... you don't understand that I know that I'm filth. See, I know that. That I know.
All right, I want to go to Brenda. Hello, Brenda. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes. Hi, how are you?
Yes, ma'am.
This guy is ridiculous. He needs good psychiatry.
No, I know that I...
He's
please don't call me crazy.
I'm not calling you crazy.
Well, why
I'm
do you say I need a psychiatrist? I know that I'm dirt. I know that I'm not worthy. I know that. Isn't that enough?
But why do you put yourself through this? That is ridiculous. You are just ha-ha, very unfunny, and you need some help because you're really...
You know the help
jealous.
That I need... You know they
you're jealous
that I...
because you cannot have her life, and you
that's
are
right. That's
close
what you
to
said.
Being a stalker.
Yeah, you said that. You were like you're on the outside looking in.
I want it. You see, is that a freight train behind you? Because I swear to God, I hear Brenda.
Yes, there is.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm outside.
Oh my God, it's lovely. The sound of a freight train. It reminds me of my youth. It reminds me of my youth.
I used to hop freight trains up in Santa Barbara near the trestles and take them into the rail station downtown. And I would speak to all the hobos, all of the bums.
You are a sick man. You are really
sick.
I
don't understand why that's sick. I categorically reject that. I'm trying to be friendly with you. Why won't you be my friend? Are you speaking to the train conductor?
Okay. I'm on my job, and I was trying to find out why this gentleman was parked out here that wasn't...
I went through extreme pain walking home through Koreatown in a Chihuahua costume.
You're really deranged, and you are close to being a stalker. I don't blame her having anything.
I have not stalked her. I got into a Chihuahua suit and walked home in a forlorn, completely depressed manner through Koreatown, Los Angeles, which is highly dangerous, in a dog costume. I could have been rolled.
Maybe you should have been.
So you wish
it
ill on me.
You
Brenda, I have said to you, I categorically reject that I'm crazy, but I know that I'm filth. I know I'm scum. Doesn't that satisfy you? Do you want more? Why don't you put the spear in my side?
Yeah, I need you to get off the air and let somebody have a shot at a conversation that's worth something, because this is ridiculous.
Ma'am, I told you that I'm filth. You've put the spear in my side and given me vinegar to drink. You've pounded the final spike into my feet. And my mother, my sweet mother, the Virgin Mary, who can bring me...
Okay, this guy's flipped his lid.
You need to get rid of him,
the
Phil.
The Virgin Mary will bring me down...
I'm gone.
Paris, you're gone? So you admit you're crazy. And you sit by a train track judging me. You sit where the hobos sit. You sit where life's... America's homeless, where America's lost men sit. And yet you...
Get out of here!
One more thing?
What?
I got a Chihuahua suit for sale. I don't know if anybody...
That's nice. This cat's, like, wigged out. Okay, now coming up, I'm going to tell you guys something. Coming up on the Phil Hendry Show here in the final few minutes of this hour, most of my fans know that that was me doing that voice. The voice of Herb Sewell. I'm going to tell you in a few minutes the frustration that I have with having to explain this show over and over and over and over again. And we will also talk about, let's see, oh yeah, I just want to get a couple more shots in on this guy, Richard Clark, who is, he's self-destructing as we speak. This guy, Clark, that thought he was going to blow the big whistle, he's coming apart at the seams. And we also are going to talk a little bit about our internship that we're going to be offering this summer to work as an intern on the Phil Hendry Show, nationally syndicated. Thank you very much. We're also...
It's a very cheap Chihuahua suit, and please don't hang up.
We're also going to, get into a few other things. 1-800-449-8686. Email address, phs@philhendryshow.com.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The soul of America. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You know, on this radio show, we do a lot of things. And one of the things we do is we do kind of a theatrical presentation utilizing characters that I've created over the years and that I play the part of. What's he talking about now? Well, here's what I'm talking about. If you were listening over the last 45, 50 minutes, that was me doing the voice of Herb Sewell as well as me being me. The callers that call believe that the person is real. I've had many people say, well, how many people actually believe the character is real? Everybody that we put on the air believes that the person is real. If they don't, if they get by our screening process for whatever reason, good for them. But the fact is, most 99.9% believe that the person is actually a real person. That's what marks our show as completely distinct, not only from any other kind of radio you've ever heard, but distinct from acts like the Jerky Boys, the Ball Busters, and that. We don't place out call, and Crank Yankers. we don't place out calls. In other words, we don't call people and then hope we don't get, you know, arrested for committing a felony by recording somebody's voice without their permission. We have them call us. Much, much more difficult to do, but ultimately a lot more rewarding and I think funnier, if you want my honest opinion. But in any event, what we do is so different that I've had people say to me at odd times, say, you got some really wild guests. I've been listening to your show for 2 years, man. Those guests are... Well, that's me doing the voice of those guests. And then they look at you as if, I don't know, as if they're about to die, as if they're seeing the white light, as if they're just stunned, as if someone took a frying pan and just clang. Remember if the coyote would just kind of go, he'd wiggle all over the desert. That's the way they look at you. And then there are people who say, it took me about 3 weeks, but I figured it out. Anybody who it takes longer than a few days, I'm worried about. I'm not saying I don't like you. Like when I did Dennis Miller's show, he said to me, it took me about 3 weeks, but he only listened to 3 shows, so I shouldn't really say it took him 3 weeks. It took him about 3 shows. Most people, though, I listen every day for 3 weeks. Now, who is that guy that you hire? Who's the actor that you... No, that's me. It's you. And it blows people's minds. Now, on top of all of that, this is what I still get from a lot of the radio stations that I'm on. Why don't you tell people that you're the one doing the voice? There was a period there, if you're a longtime listener to the Phil Henry Show, where we would conclude every hour by saying, that was me doing the voice. And one of the reasons why we did that is we found that when people know what the show's about, we have a radio statistic called time spent listening. It just means how many minutes during the week you listen, and the longer the better. And we found out that when people knew what the act was, their time spent listening went way, way up. But it also necessitated me doing this rather lame disclaimer at the end of every hour. And I, to be honest with you, I hated doing it until finally a very wise woman who is our program director here in Los Angeles, Robin Bertolucci, said to me, why don't you stop doing that? I said, well, Robin, we got all this research. She goes, yeah, I don't care about the research. They're probably reading it wrong. Don't do it anymore. And I was relieved to hear that, because that was exactly what I was hoping to hear, and I stopped doing it until now. Now, why am I telling you about this tonight? I get constantly these frustrating notes from radio stations. Could you let people know that you're actually the voice of Lloyd? Why's that? Well, because they call him and they think he's real and they get all angry at us and everything. Why don't you tell them then? Well, but I just think that people get really... I don't care how angry they get. Tell them what I'm doing. I don't want to do it anymore. Why am I bringing this up right now? Well, I guess I'm just venting. I know that most of the mail that we got over the years, most of the email was, why is Phil telling people that he's doing the voices? People, they dig it when I'm just like, the show just unfolds as it is. And I understand that, and I'm totally with you on that. And I don't want to do it anymore. But I am frustrated because the show... It shouldn't be that hard to understand. It just shouldn't be that hard to freaking bloody understand. One of the reasons why I think it is that we sit here right in the middle of a large landscape called talk radio. A lot of the stations we're on are AM stations. And we're a very odd, really completely out of joint kind of radio show. We're not quite Bubba the Love Sponge. We ain't exactly Rush. We sure as hell ain't Laura. We're just like, we're our own thing. And so, rather than attempt to explain and market the show, people are all just kind of sitting there scratching their rear ends with their thumbs in their mouths. And so, I would say this. I think anybody with any intelligence, and I don't mean you have to be a brain surgeon, I think anybody with about the intelligence of a 13-year-old can figure out that what we're doing is pretty over the freaking top. But the problem we have is... this landscape, which is like this desert of talk radio, we're like this lone little cactus flower sitting out there in the middle, hoping for a little bit of rain every now and again. People drive by and they go, oh, what a pretty little flower, and they keep on going, right? Because they're on their way to take a look at the botanical gardens. Meanwhile, man, I got to wait for the freaking rain in the wintertime, and I'm out here dying.
I got a chipmunk costume.
Get out of here. So, until radio catches up with us, and when I say catches up with us, I mean that in every sense of the word, until it catches up with us, we're going to have to periodically do these sort of explanations of things, but I'm not going to be doing it every day. And talk radio is just going to have to catch up. What's out there right now, what passes for talk radio, is horrific to the nth degree. And really what's passing for radio in general is dull beyond words. However, that having been said, it ain't going to make me dilute my act just so I can fall back to the pack and sound a little bit more like, I don't know, Earl Grins, your auto mechanic guy on Saturday. You dig what I'm saying?
Not really.
Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world.